Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column, Autonomous Closer, and here's what he has to say about it. Once again, it's February, and we are in Transportation Month here at Paparitalo Publications. For the past several years, we've been talking about driverless trucks at some point during the month of February. This year is no different, and the general comment is no different from that of the past several years. Driverless trucks are getting closer to being mainstream. Several issues might move autonomously driven trucks from in the near future to imminent as we write about them this year. First, the U.S. is experiencing strong employment numbers. Thus, some folks who have been driving trucks but would prefer to have a job closer to home may be finding that job closer to home, leaving the trucking companies in a bind. Prima facie evidence of this is that trucking companies keep raising the salaries of drivers. Also, nearly every long-haul truck has emblazoned on its rear door a solicitation for potential new driver hires. It seems that the technology is advancing as fast as possible, but higher-priced drivers and a continuing shortage of drivers may incentivize those who are spending development funds to do so faster. There have been a seemingly steady stream of announcements and news stories this past year about autonomous vehicles, from Tesla building an electric driverless truck to news that a Tesla automobile in autonomous mode crashed into a fire truck. The evidence is clear that the adoption of such vehicles is indeed imminent. And, of course, Tesla is not the only company or institution making the news. They just happen to be one of the most photogenic. In the past 2 weeks, I have rented the first two cars that have had what I will call driving aids, which are precursors to autonomous vehicles. The week of the 22nd of January, I rented a Nissan with warning devices that cautioned me when another vehicle was in my blind spot on either side. This past week, I drove a Toyota that was reading the lines painted on the road and warning me when I was drifting. How it knew when I was drifting and when I was deliberately changing lines, I do not know, but it did know the difference. Yes, I recognize these aids have been around for some time, but when they start showing up on cheap rental cars, you know the technology has broken through a price barrier. Having lived through the introduction of the electronic calculator, first an expensive instrument, then a throwaway item, the personal computer, first an expensive toy, and now everyone has at least one they cannot live without, the retail introduction of the Internet, moving from novelty to necessity, I see the autonomous vehicle as about to slip from novelty to necessity, perhaps as soon as 2020 or 2021. In my bones, I feel it is almost here. Later this month, we'll talk about what full-blown adoption of autonomous vehicles might mean to the pulp and paper industry and society in general. Hold on, we're about to have another wild technology phase shift in the world. For safety this week, autonomous vehicles are going to mean the human-machine interface is going to change, both those responsible for operating the vehicles, whether they are actually on board the vehicle or not, and those incidentally or passively interacting with them, as when they do a boo-boo and run over somebody. The rules are going to change, and so are the safety parameters. If you're in the safety management profession, I don't think it's too early to start educating yourself on these matters. In the meantime, be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column, Using Transportation Costs as a KPI. And here's what Jim has to say about that. KPI, in case you have been living under a rock, means Key Performance Indicator. KPIs have been all the rage for a number of years. Everyone has been looking for the holy grail of KPIs for a very long time. I'll submit I have found it. But before I reveal it, you'll have to suffer through one of my stories. Back in the 80s, a mill that is almost in the middle of Iowa reported to me. There aren't many mills there, so you should be able to identify it pretty quickly. I didn't live there, but I was on top of their numbers every day. They had slowed down due to a frayed belt on a dewatering device. They did not have one in stock. They had ordered one from the belt maker, but it had not arrived. Being young, brash, and full of vim and vinegar, I decided to fly out there and take charge of the situation. As it turned out, by the time I got there, the belt, or wire if you prefer, was sitting in a transportation company's warehouse in Milwaukee, about 300 miles away. It was scheduled to be delivered in a week or two. Infuriated, I got the length of the wire roll, about 12 feet if I remember correctly, went to the nearest town, rented a U-Haul van of a size that would hold it, and drove to Milwaukee and got the blasted thing. Took about 15 hours round trip if I remember correctly. And within this story lies the KPI. It is likely you are not going to find a senior manager who will do what I did. No, you will spend more money and hotshot your problem. That is, use an exclusive truck with two drivers that can take a load straight through without stopping. FedEx Ground has made a beautiful business out of such mistakes and copyrighted the name Custom Critical for such shipments. They have trucks with Custom Critical markings and sleeper cabs just for this service. Sounds much classier than hotshot, don't you think? I reference these as mistakes, and that is exactly what they are. If you find yourself hotshotting spare parts into your facility, Somewhere in your system, you are out of control. Hotshotting loads to your customers may need further examination. This could either be your problem, you missed a production date promise, or your customer's problem, they failed to order your products in time. Hotshotting should set off alarm bells, for unless it is caused by an act of nature, tornado, flood, and so forth, hotshotting indicates someone made a management mistake. Yet if we're going to use this as a KPI, what are the acceptable boundary limits? I think if I were in such a management position again, more than one inbound hotshot per quarter would raise alarm bells for me. That's just a guess, and it would require examination of the circumstances. It is not the apparent costs of the hotshot that concerns me. That is, not the extra costs of the specialized transportation. It is the hidden costs. What went wrong in our planning? Our allocation of maintenance costs and capital, our analysis of machine reliability, and on and on and on. The extra transportation costs are just the tip of the iceberg. The balance of the chaos and its costs that caused this situation are far more interesting. What do you think? I would like to hear from you. From a safety standpoint, if you're hot-shotting, you're in a position of being particularly vulnerable to safety problems. People are in a high state of agitation, and it is easy to make a mistake. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column, Transportation Optimization. And here's what he has to say about that. I was introduced to just-in-time manufacturing concepts sometime in the mid-1980s, over 30 years ago. At that time, this meant that suppliers of paper products were supposed to keep warehouses full of product made to customers' specifications and deliver it to them on a moment's notice. We kept it on our books, assumed the liability for its potential damage or loss, and owned the warehouses. Some savings. In the years since then, mills have clawed back some of the costs that were transferred to them by their customers during this trend. One of the best ways to do this is to build small finished goods warehouses. These naturally force your machine schedulers and logistics professionals to do their jobs better, resulting in manufacturing and shipment planning schedules that are tighter. After all, if they're forced to put their mistakes in outside warehouses, which costs real cash money, and result in double-handing more real cash money, senior management's attention will be captured and something will be done about these inefficiencies. One of the largest breakthroughs in this area has been equipping trucks with GPS and other sensors so their whereabouts can be known at any time. 30 years ago, when you waved the truck off the dock, you had no idea where it was until it appeared at the recipient's dock, hopefully on schedule. Good drivers with good equipment got there on schedule. The others required telescopes, radar, and airplanes to find. To me, this trackability was the most important advancement in logistics in the last 50 years, since the building of the interstate highway system in the United States. While the next phase, autonomous or driverless trucks, may bring at first a cost savings and later the only way to do business competitively, likely it will not bring the kinds of savings these two former advancements have brought. With the exception that there is an opportunity that autonomous trucks will improve safety and thus reduce safety-related losses. So far, the jury is out on this. Interfacing autonomous vehicles with those driven by humans has thus far resulted in mixed results. This is due to the rule-following predictability of autonomous guidance, coupled with the unpredictability of human-driven vehicles. In the short term, accidents may actually increase, but as the autonomous vehicles become an ever-increasing percentage of the traffic, the safety record will no doubt improve. This tiny compendium of logistics improvements would be incomplete without a nod towards intermodal shipping, invented in North Carolina in the 1950s. Not so important for domestic shipping, intermodal containers have revolutionized international shipping and reduced costs considerably from the days of stevedores loading and unloading every shipment mode and every shipment node. The intermodal container, or Connex in some circles, has been as revolutionary and cost-saving as anything else I have mentioned here. My dream, however, is that someday we will fabricate these containers of corrugated board, not steel, and simply repulp them at the location where they wear out, no matter where they are in the world. Perhaps this vision is a matter of pride in our own industry on my part. For safety this week, we need to remember logistics involves movement, and movement involves safety. Safety risks at the dock, on the highway, and in the mill. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know, and you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim entitles the column, A Different Set of Transportation Problems, and here's what he has to say about that. They call them chicken buses. In Guatemala, their primary means of transportation is old U.S. school buses that have been repurposed for public transportation and the general hauling of goods as necessary in the local economy. This is the end of Transportation Month here at Paparitalo Publications, and I wanted to take this time to offer a different perspective and a challenge to you. As you know, I go to Guatemala often to help build houses for poor local families and otherwise work at a mission there.
2 years ago, I took a group called the Papermakers Group. Last summer, I could not, as I was ill. Therefore, we will be doing this again this summer, 28th of July to 4th of August, 2018. I get several satisfying experiences out of this. First, I get to help other people, and that, in and of itself, is worthwhile. Second, I get to observe their cultures and how they do things. I began thinking about this during our transportation month. Yes, I think we can learn things about our transportation issues within our own industry by observing what others do. In this particular case, they are moving mountains with little resources. This makes them develop shortcuts, shortcuts we might never think about. Indeed, some of them may be unsafe by our standards, but others are not. I get a different perspective when I watch people carry out their daily activities in cultures different from our own, perspectives I can bring back and offer to folks in our own environment. So this is a kind of column different from what you usually find here. I want to urge you to come and join us and observe and help those in a poor environment. They will be better off for your investment of a week of your time and a small amount of money. You will be tremendously enriched from the experience yourself, and I think you will even come back with some ideas you can use on your job. You really have no idea how many resources, yours personally and your employer's, that you waste daily. Going to a place like Guatemala is eye-opening when it comes to realizing our wastefulness. Won't you join me? I have only 10 spots, several of which have already been taken. We can sit around in the evenings talking about our day, sharing our papermaking experiences back home. We'll have suppliers, we'll have papermakers, but in this place we forget all of that and realize we are all just people doing our part in our place in the world. I guarantee you'll come back with a perspective you have never had before, one that can help you in your career every day. Again, July 28th to August 4th. Email me, jthompson@taii.com. Or call me at 678-206-6010 for more information. Time is short. For safety this week, if you want to see how not to do things safely, Guatemala is the place to be. When folks are very poor, they take shortcuts. More importantly, their blatant shortcuts have gotten me to thinking sometimes about the safety choices I have made that are not so good. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA, all rights reserved.